And the health of the world economy this morning is in the hands of Slovakia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we'll start this morning in the Slovakian parliament, where we are just hours away from a key vote. Slovakia is the last of the 17 Eurozone countries that has to approve the expansion of the European bailout fund, which would be used to send more money to Greece and other countries and banks that are in trouble. One political party in Slovakia has already said it will abstain from voting, and if the vote fails, Europe's bailout plans are put back in doubt. The BBC's Steve Evans joins us now from Berlin with more. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Well, I never thought we'd be talking about the international ramifications of a vote in Slovakia, but it does seem like this is a pretty important one.
It is. Slovakia, the eastern bit of Czechoslovakia, which broke off with the fall of communism, is in the Eurozone, which means it's one of the 17 countries which has to ratify the bailout of Greece. Everybody else has done it, but there is a political deadlock in Slovakia. And if Slovakia doesn't say yes, there's an awful lot of difficulty. And if you look at the way the European markets have been going, they've been going down slightly as I speak, and that's because they think Slovakia may say no. So Slovakia, not the most powerful country on the planet, has an awful lot of power today.
Well, is there a real chance here, Steve, that the Slovakian parliament will decide no, they're not going to vote to expand the size of the European bailout fund?
There is, Jeremy, and that's because it shows what this process is all about. It's 17 different countries having to agree. And of course, all kinds of domestic politics comes to play. The leadership in Slovakia has said this is a vote of confidence. If you vote this one down, the government falls. Mm. Well, that, of course, means that some parties will vote against it. So the whole thing is wrapped up in a confusing way between domestic politics and the bigger politics of the euro. And that's pretty well the way it's been in every single one of these votes, which means there's been a fight every step of the way.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Steve, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, today, President Obama will be in Pittsburgh pushing again for Congress to pass his $447 billion job creation bill. The chances of that are slim. So the president is also laying out a series of policies to boost foreign investment in the United States to the tune of $1 trillion, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
This is no small goal. Nancy McClernand heads the Organization for International Investment. She represents U.S. subsidiaries of foreign companies.
They're going to have to work to achieve it.
In 1991, the U.S. attracted more than 40% of all foreign direct investment. Today, it's about half that. And the reason? Well, according to some economists, it's because of surging growth in emerging markets, crumbling U.S. infrastructure, and an education system that can't compete. Still, there is a reason to invest here.
It's having low-cost access to the U.S. market.
Gordon Hansen teaches economics at UC San Diego. He says foreign businesses open shop in the U.S. to be closer to their customers, and upstart companies in emerging markets will want to expand.
They're going to want to have presence in other markets, and the U.S. is a place you just have to be.
But the Obama administration can only do so much. One big barrier to foreign investment, the corporate tax code, can't be changed without Congress. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in Asia this morning after that big rally on Wall Street yesterday, but they've turned lower across Europe as we await that Slovakian vote, down about 0.7% right now in London. Today is the start of corporate earnings season here in the United States, and we will hear first, as we always do, from the aluminum company Alcoa. Analysts are bracing for a disappointing earnings season reflecting the global economic slowdown we've been seeing over the last few months. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow surged 330 points, almost 3%, to close at 11,433.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Harper Business, publisher of Jim Collins' new book, Great by Choice, exploring why some companies thrive despite immense uncertainty wherever books are sold. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. and by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Tomorrow, the federal government releases its projections for how much heating fuels will cost this winter, and there will probably be a lot of people paying attention in states like New Hampshire, states with long, cold winters. Congress is considering scaling back a program that provides heating assistance to the poor. And as Dan Gorenstein reports from New Hampshire Public Radio, the Granite State is already bracing for the cuts.
Congress is poised to cut as much as $1 billion from the program this year, leaving about 2 million households without aid. The reduction would come at a time when home heating oil is 80 cents a gallon more than a year ago. Joanne Morin runs the Energy Assistance Program in New Hampshire. She says her office could end up serving 5,000 to 10,000 fewer families.
There's a lot of strain on households and families in New Hampshire right now.
Abby, come here. What treat?
80-year-old Jean McElligott, her husband John, and their dog Abby live in a simple five-room ranch. The couple received a letter. Given the likely cuts, their monthly income of $2,696 is a few hundred too much to get help this year. The problem for the McElligotts is
John Hancock is $107. Electric is $74.76. The house insurance, which is $105.60.
Everything is up, except the pension money they live on. Jean says friends have suggested one way to cut back.
People say to me, why do you keep the dog? Well, you have a dog for 9 years and you love her.
As for John McElligott, the World War II veteran finds himself wondering about snowstorms and whether he can afford to fix his roof come spring. In Concord, New Hampshire, I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And finally to Lexington, Kentucky, which Men's Health magazine called the least active city in America. Well, apparently, Lexington is also a city with a sense of humor. Over the weekend, the city held what it called a sedentary parade. Mayor Jim Gray was on the lead float, sitting on a couch with his feet up on a table. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There are economic indicators all over the place, some worthwhile, some not. So how about a few good alternatives?
The owners have either been evicted or left the home with no intention of returning to care for those animals.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Pets, the United States Marine Corps, and a couple of unmentionables. New ways to track the economy next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.